The views and opinions expressed by the guests, callers, and hosts on this and all Rents Radio Network programs do not necessarily reflect or agree with those of the network, its commercial sponsors, its radio station affiliates, or internet broadcast platforms. In these controversial times, we believe the First Amendment and freedom of the press are absolutely essential to the survival of our nation. Thank you. And now, enjoy the program.
Welcome back. Analysts are still trying to make sense of what happened in Virginia yesterday. It looks like a big win for American patriots and conservatism in general. There's really no other way to look at it, I guess, superficially. But what does it mean for the nation at large? I don't know. But someone who's very well accustomed to analyzing these things, the big picture, is Charlotte Thompson Iserbeet, my girlfriend from Maine, who is standing by. She wanted to talk about this tonight. And what'd you think, young lady? Pretty exciting.
Yes, very exciting. And, you know, before I say anything, I've been thinking, you know, that I'm getting along, and it'd probably be a good idea to get this out in public, that I admire you very much, Jeff. And I've never really thanked you publicly on the show for your allowing me to speak for many years, and you're really quite brilliant. But aside from that, I don't know how you do this every day, covering hundreds of subjects, and it's quite amazing. And I just wish you well, and I appreciate your audience. I did want to get that in, that I've never said anything like that.
No, Charlotte, you know, thank you. I sort of speechless. I don't. You better not go anywhere soon. We need you.
Well, no, I'm not planning on doing that, but I think when one gets to where my age, you know, it's a good idea. We've been very focused on just dealing with issues through the years as they come along, and we've never really had time. We never discuss. You're very, always extremely complimentary as far as I'm concerned, and I just sort of take you for granted. And I was thinking today, I deal with one issue every day of my life ever since the 70s, but you've been dealing with thousands of them.
Well,
and I don't know how
crazy
you do it, and I just think it's a miracle. And I'm very grateful for you, and I know all your listeners are, and I did want to say that tonight.
Thank you. Very, very, that means an awfully lot to me, and I really do
appreciate it. Well, you're welcome. It's about time I did that. How long have we been doing interviews? I don't know about.
Since the 30s, I think, huh? Something like that.
Yeah, since the 30s? You mean
yes.
I started doing interviews when I was born?
Time means nothing. Remember? Yeah, you could have been doing this before you were born. That's the way I
think maybe I was. I certainly was born with some sort of concern about.
It's a mission. You've been on a mission your entire life. It is true.
Well, I sort of like to be free, huh? Don't we all?
Yeah.
Lost it. Now, but until, let's talk about last Tuesday. And I think the results were extraordinary. Even, you know, a close one like New Jersey shame he didn't make it, but how about the guy that only put 100 and some odd bucks into, what did he do? He won a seat in the Senate or something? Where was he from? I was just looking at that. Amazing.
I'd say $187 or some silly amount. I guess the equal time thing gave him his platform, and he made the most of it.
Unbelievable, isn't it? Well,
yes.
We have to be very grateful for last Tuesday. I, of course, I was very supportive and still am of the new governor in Virginia, Youngkin. But as I've said, you know, I think I wrote an article on it called Why Now or something. I'm watching carefully because I think that the school choice hammer is going to land on all of us soon. I have a feeling because those parents have every reason, and I don't know, I think they're fantastic and God bless them and they did a wonderful thing and they got the governor in, but I don't think they have much history on the education in general going all the way back. And the plans, the Chamber of Commerce actually, way back, right after the UN was, we got in the UN, the Chamber of Commerce was supporting school choice and vouchers. I've got a whole list of it. I sent it to you just now, I think, the Chamber of Commerce agenda. And this whole thing is a result, you know, the school choice thing is...
1945.
Yeah, 1945. But in 1981, and sometimes I'm rather slow in recognizing what came first.
Mm-hmm.
For instance, in the Reagan administration, I always focused on the agreements with Gorbachev that Reagan signed in 1985. But the key document, the key meeting that would change our form of government was economics was in 1981, and I was a liaison with the White House Private Sector Initiative,
right.
And I don't know why my boss, I'll never understand, he's dead now, so he can't tell me, but why he ever assigned me to be liaison with all these important offices that came under the Office of Educational Research and Improvement. He had me liaison with all of them. I would go and I would serve as liaison. I'd very quickly be removed from my job by him. But why he put me in those jobs, I don't know. But anyway,
You know what I think?
What?
I think
what?
Probably the first time he met you or saw you, he was commanded by your presence, your energy. He knew there was somebody extremely formidable there who could be very helpful. And that was the initial hit, and I think that was probably what it is. You generate a lot of energy when you come into a room. I have no doubt. So that was probably part of it.
Well, he did. You know, it's a funny little story. He called me before I was assigned to a senior policy advisor in that office, right?
Yeah.
Which is the most important office in the world, Educational Research and Improvement, U.S. Department
yeah.
of Ed. And who am I? You know, who? So he called me, and I remember I was... I had a tiny bedroom in an apartment, a basement apartment in Washington, and my bed was the size of the bedroom. You know, I couldn't even get out of the bed without, you know, I'd have to go sideways.
Oh, this is too funny.
one of those little bedrooms.
And yes, yes,
anyway,
yes.
I was going to sleep. The phone rang. He called. And this was before he had hired me. And he said to me, he asked me this weird question.
How did
Will
he introduce himself in the call? Charlotte, excuse
what?
Me. How did he introduce himself in the call?
Oh, he
you
said,
pick up the phone.
This is Don Sinise. Yeah, Charlotte, this is Don Sinise. I just want to talk to you about your application,
yeah.
You know, and we're looking at it for you to be senior policy advisor in my office.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, okay, thank you. Thanks for calling. And then he said, part of the conversation was this, will you be loyal?
Oh, my.
You know, and I mean, I've learned a lot since then. But at that point, I thought, well, he of course, he means to the Constitution, right? So I said, uh-huh. Yes, of course. Well, I found out later, you know, that he meant to Ronald Reagan.
Yeah, sure.
That's what he meant. And
yep.
I didn't know I was going to run into what I ran into. But getting back to the most important initiative in my office, it was in 19... I sent it to you. in 1981, I was appointed to this task force, the President's Task Force on Private Sector Initiatives. Think about it. Okay? Think about how industry...
U.S. Chamber of Commerce, the Reagan Sector Initiative. Yep, got it.
Yes. And I just, none of this really made that much sense to me at that time. I, what are they, what, you know, anyway, I'm looking at this. It's in my book, page 175. I think you have it.
Yes,
I do. So he sends me over there as a liaison, and there are all these, you know, stuffed down couches and, you know, roses and crystal vases and people like, you know, I don't think Kissinger was there, but there were these high up, you name it. Well, you could see all the names of people in the list there.
Mm-hmm.
And every religion, mayors from different places, the Olin Foundation, you know, I'm telling you, that's just American Stock Exchange. I'm looking at the list now and just pulling a few things out. Control Data, George Romney, National Center for Citizen Involvement, William Verity, chairman of ARMCO. Remember him? Yes, Mott Foundation, of course, very important because they are the ones behind the whole mess, which will only be, you know, birth through death under the umbrella of the school district. That's the community ed one. But anyway, so I'm looking at this thing and I'm thinking, wow, here I was right in the beginning, early in 1981. I just arrived. And he assigned me to this. First of all, he assigned me to go to these dinner parties, or rather, no, of course I like that, these French restaurants and everything in Washington. All these tech guys came in, 100 of them or so, from all over the country, the top ones.
Right.
And there was a week of meetings. And so I get to go out for dinner at a French restaurant every night during the week, right? And
tough
talking
duty
to all these guys. I mean, here I am.
Yeah.
What is going on here? I realized that this was a focus on technology. But the other part of it was, this is a merger, the totally unconstitutional merger of the public and private sector, which is fascism. It's communism too, but communism doesn't have a private sector, but they have corporations, you know, businesses, the government and business working together.
That's one of That's one of the hardest things for people to understand, that communism and fascism are not mutually exclusive terms in the situation we're facing now. So
not at all. National Socialism, that was Hitler, right? And you know, so of course at the time I. None of this. It took me, how many years? Was it 40 years for me to understand this whole thing. So if your listeners are feeling a little confused, they have every reason to be, because it took me 40 years to get it. Now I know this was the biggie. This was Ronald Reagan's Task Force on Private Sector Initiatives. This was a merger, which we're looking at right now. It's done. The merger's done. Of the public and private sector, which very much diluted our constitutional system.
Indeed.
Which there's no merger there of the government with the private sector. And what's happened now, I think, I look at it, is the private sector appears to have taken over the whole thing. We're looking at that even with, you know, with COVID, too. And so anyway, this meeting was, as I wrote in the book, this totally new and un-American concept of partnerships between public and private sector has been readily accepted by our elected officials, who ignore its roots in socialism and its implications for the discontinuation of our representative form of government and accountability to the taxpayers. Under the partnership process, determining responsibility when something goes wrong is like pinning Jell-O to the wall. Now, this
is
what's going to happen
truth
here. And I've got a very important letter from one of the libertarian guys in Wichita, Kansas, to Ronald Reagan in regard to not even having to vote anymore. You know, I think you've seen that letter. And because of technology, because of the computer. But then at the bottom of the letter is a list of the belong to that private sector initiative thing. And their names are, well, it's the Heritage Foundation and a lot of the other groups that everybody thinks are okay. And it's absolute proof that we've been, you know, we don't understand how this all happened, that we're moving towards certainly pure socialism, fascism, whatever it is. It's an ism.
It's an ism. It's a mechanism, and it is not a representative government.
No,
okay?
It's not.
Just done. No.
That's right. Now, what I'm going to get back to the election in Virginia, and as you know, yeah. I really made a big effort to get that guy elected, and yeah. You know, I wrote an article. It's on my website, and I like him very much, and I listened to him, and I was impressed. He did not mention school choice and charters, I don't think, but I can't believe that all those parents, because they don't understand the history. They're terrific. They got to find it. They found out what was going on in the schools, which all of us have been fighting since the early 60s. Writers, you know, Maureen Heaton, the whole crowd, Cuddy, et cetera, myself, and,
okay,
and
yes. Yeah.
They didn't,
yeah.
Those parents don't have a, I don't think they have a clue about the history.
No.
But they, what happened is that with the COVID, the parents, the students, their children, were learning at home on the computer, and the parents saw this incredible curriculum that their children were exposed to. This was stupid of the schools. Mm-hmm. I mean, mm-hmm. they never should, you know, the worst thing that happened, they should have taken the internet down because the parents were able to find out. Now, maybe I'm wrong, but I expect, and it may not even come from Youngkin, he may not even be the one to recommend it, but those parents are going to be going for school choice and charters. So I think our big battle will be, we've got to stop this, because once that happens, you just said it, unelected boards, and I pointed out in, you know, I wrote an article a while back that the education at all three levels, federal, state, and local, the budget exceeds that of the Department of Defense. It's over $1 trillion. Can you imagine for this horrible, evil curriculum that the children aren't getting any basic academics, right? Over $1 trillion a year. Now, defense is under $1 trillion.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a major part of the economy. So if the school choice charters thing, you know, gets in, we will have the largest budgetary item, aside from all the, you know, welfare and all that stuff.
Incredible. That's incredible.
Yes.
It's true.
Of all. And so nobody's, who's going to go vote for dog catcher? You know, I mean, please, in our towns, we will lose mm-hmm. our representative form of government. Mm-hmm. I know it. I mean, of course we will. If you can't vote, parents, for a local school board, and you can't mm-hmm. vote for, well, mm-hmm. of course, his opponent there, what's his name, you know, he said that we parents shouldn't have any say in education, you know. Well, really, that's what got him in trouble. But still, that is down, I think, I can't see that not happening. Do you understand me?
I certainly do.
That is going to be a catastrophe. And
yeah.
the election in Virginia was so remarkable, and you know, has set the pace for hopefully the rest of the country, but not in that particular area. But it was such an extraordinary, wonderful event, and I certainly am happy about it. But at the time, you know, I said, that's right, when I was first talking about it, I wrote the article stating, why now? Why now are these parents allowed
right.
to speak out
right.
when, as you know, nobody has listened to any of us? I mean, all the great writers, et cetera, starting with this wonderful article by, what's the name? There was a great article on the
Chamber of Commerce by Erica Carle. It's in my book.
Way back, about the Chamber of Commerce and everything that they were supporting. The Chamber of Commerce is really something else. I want to read this. This is Erica Carle's article was, I think, in 1981. This is the Chamber of Commerce, their agenda, the UN, the Office of Economic Cooperation and Development, regional government or new federalism, that was Reagan, huh? Medicare, postal reorganization, Organized Crime Control Act, contracting for school services with private industry, voucher system for education.
Right there.
That's what we're looking at. Exactly. Then other things, health care planning councils, prepaid medical practice, federal land use planning, federally imposed career education. That's the school to work, right? The Soviet system, polytechnical.
Yes.
Equal rights amendment, cross-town busing. Now, that is just, that's the Chamber of Commerce that we all think the Chamber of Commerce is so wonderful. No, it's not.
It's another tool. It's another tool. It's been taken over long ago.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Now, for people who, I don't know how many of your listeners ever remember, well, he's around a lot now, too. Chester Finn, they probably don't know who he is because I just go back so far. When I was in the office in 1981,
right.
81,
no, they don't
40
know.
Years ago.
Yeah, they don't
well,
know.
Chester Finn, after I left, the next assistant secretary was Chester Finn. And
right.
Chester Finn is a neoconservative, Vanderbilt University. I know him quite well. And, luckily we haven't talked to him for about 10 years. But anyway, the most interesting, it's an interesting article here. For people who still think, I know your listeners know what school choice and charters are, tax
yeah.
credits and all
no,
that.
You're
I know
talking
they know that.
To the literate portion
yes.
of America.
But there's a very interesting article that was in the National Associate Secretary of School Principals Bulletin in 1982. And you have to remember, he really is important. He's a very close friend of William Bennett and the whole crowd, the whole Republican crowd, Lamar Alexander. They all work, Diane Ravitch, they all work together, all right? So he's very high up. And I'm going to read this. This came out of Barbara Morris's little book. What was her book? Which one was it called? It was Tuition Tax Credits, A Responsible Appraisal. She wrote this in 1983. She also wrote the first book called Why Are You Losing Your Children in 1970. Now, these are books that those parents in Virginia really ought to be reading, including My Deliberate Dumbing Down. But anyway, this is what she has this
May
quote.
I say something before you read that?
Yeah.
Our listeners, those of you who are in Virginia, you need to reach out and try and make some connections with this new incoming administration. This has to be addressed. Don't let it just float along. Don't.
Absolutely. I wish that they'd send this link that you've got, to the governor. I mean, the governor, he should have my book. I don't think he's ever heard of it. He should have Schlafly's book, Child Abuse in the Classroom.
Even if he takes your book and gives it to his education czar or whatever he's going to call him, this needs to be introduced.
He absolutely has to have it.
Yeah.
And he has to have Child Abuse in the Classroom edited by Phyllis, which was the testimony of the parents at all those regional hearings in order for us to get the regulations for the Protection of Pupil Rights Amendment. Because that passed. That's a federal law. And we had to get regulations for it, and they had seven hearings around the country, Department of Ed hearings. I was very involved in that. And in her book, because I gave Phyllis the parents, because I worked with them, the parents' testimony.
Okay.
Because I had all the programs out of the National Diffusion Network, and the parents had been subjected to this. They knew that they were fighting these programs. So I had them, and I gave them to that. And then Phyllis put them in her book, Child Abuse in the Classroom. Incredible little book. I mean, for your listeners, if they don't, you can still buy it. And it's also a free PDF at Sam's website. But
I listed it last time you were on, I think, or the time before. It's listed.
Oh, good. Well, we did talk about it. Okay, now, but this is from Chester Finn that I was just talking about.
Yes.
I don't know where he is now, but he's messing around somewhere with all of them, Bill Bennett and all. This is it. Barbara Morris Report, 1983. This is, all right, let's say, Chester Finn wrote, public service, public support, public accountability. For the March 1982 issue of the National Association of Secondary School Principals, Bulletin. See, he's high up, so he gets published by these people. He was also assistant secretary after I left my office. My assistant secretary was Donald Sinise. Anyway, after I left, he was assistant secretary in my office. So that's important. Nice. All right, he writes this. This is before he went in as assistant secretary. This is in the National Association of Secondary School Principals Bulletin. Finn became... I was just telling you all that too. Okay. Says this. Short of scattering money. I love this quote, folks. You're going to love it too, huh? Short of... This is Chester talking. They call him Checker, okay? Short of scattering money in the streets or handing it out to everyone who wants some, the funding agency must define eligible recipients. Get it?
I do.
That means the Department of Ed. All right.
Uh-huh.
Must define eligible recipients. This means, in a word, regulation. The inevitable concomitant of public financial support. That's school choice. Now, Finn also believe the government is obligated to recognize that the private schools it helps support, they all want this, you know, free money with the strings attached, no elected boards, right? It helps support, are different from public schools. Okay, Finn also believes the government is obligated to recognize that the private schools it helps with tuition tax credits, right, support are different from public schools, that it is this, in quote, differentness that makes them supportable. The other side of the coin, he says, this is the other side, this is what everybody has to remember, is the obligation of private schools to recognize certain limits to their differentness and certain ways they must conform to the norms and expectations of a society that values and supports them. Some, to be sure, like to think they can have it both ways, i.e., can obtain aid without saddling. Now, I may have to repeat this. If I had a big bold pen, this would be bolded. Some, to be sure, like to think they can have it both ways. This is like the parents, all schools, everybody around there, out there are being told, oh, tuition tax credits, that's the way to go, blah, 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 okay? No. I.e., both ways. Can obtain the aid without saddling themselves with unacceptable forms of regulation. But most acknowledge the general applicability of the old adage that he who pays the piper calls the tune and are more resigned to amalgamating or choosing between assistance and autonomy. So that is so important. There is no way, and we have the federal law anyway. It's in the, the regulations and everything way back when. Mm-hmm. For school choice, it's the Don Bell report wrote about it. It's in my book. Ginny Baker was the major person from Texas. She's gone now. We've lost so many of our wonderful people. But Ginny Baker was the one that found the actual wording in the government records and all, whatever, congressional record, in regard to funding of private education with tax money. And that, I don't have the direct quote, but I know it pretty well. It states that any entity any entity which accepts tax money and is running a school 24 hours a day must conform everything to federal regulations. And that means pictures on the wall, school lunch, curriculum, everything.
Yeah.
And this is the case. It's a federal law. They have to conform no matter you take a penny. And this bothers me enormously because, I don't know, the Supreme Court must have been out to lunch last year. All
this
of them
court,
were drinking or whatever when they came down with that decision. You know, actually, in effect.
This court isn't out to lunch, dear. It's communist.
Oh, yeah. You're not kidding. So the point here is, I may be wrong, but I think we have to cross our fingers here. And it may well be that Governor Youngkin doesn't, he may not know anything about this. I think he's more a businessman. I think he works for the Carlyle Group, which is a good group, you know. And he's probably much more a businessman, and he's a very good American. I mean, unless he's a lawyer. And he doesn't appear to me to be a liar, but I've been wrong before.
You almost sound like you said lawyer, but liar and lawyer are synonyms.
Well, they're the same. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So anyway, that I hope people will. I'm not trying to be negative. I'm just saying, you know, sort of the red light should be going on in our heads about this.
Correct.
What are we going? What's going to happen next? I would be not at all surprised if Bill Bennett or Newt Gingrich or, you know, any of that neoconservative Trotskyite crowd, because this is a Trotsky, you know, school to work is Trotskyite. It's communist, it's fascist, it's Hitler, it's whatever, but it's not American. And
we believe in a sound
academic education.
You just said it. It doesn't matter what it really is because it's not American.
No,
what matters is that we've lost our soul here in this country. It's been taken away.
Oh, yes. And I don't know whether we can get it back, but, you know, that's what was so great last Tuesday. Was that last Tuesday?
Yeah.
Last Tuesday. So close. It's quite unbelievable what happened. I can't. I just think it's wonderful, and Virginia certainly set a wonderful example.
Well, Virginia deserved it, and that was the nicest part for me. The people of Virginia deserved it.
Absolutely. A lot of the creeps in Congress are going to not be there next time because of this.
Right.
And
that's true.
I just think, regardless of whether we're going to see down the road the school choice agenda, don't you think we are going to? I mean, if the Chamber of Commerce can be coming out for this agenda way back like that, this was in the 40s. This was right after the UN.
You just put your finger on it again. This all goes back. This is not new. This is old planning come to fruition. And people don't understand that.
Oh, yes. Listen to this. Federally imposed career education. Well, what do you think school to work is?
Please.
And then Reagan's private sector initiative? That thing that I was the liaison with? I'm just looking at one of the top people there. I said, well, I don't understand this. I said, I'm looking at them. I'm thinking, I said, isn't this corporate fascism? And
this all spawned from the FDR Bolshevik communist nest that was implanted in this country. It all came out spinning out from that. Of course, any isms are, you know who did them.
We've never been an ism. But this nice woman, you know, she's not dumb, very nice person. You know, she said, well, Charlotte, I don't think there were 100 people there. I don't think anybody looked at us that way. And I thought, huh? What? I mean, well, you've got Casper Weinberger. You know, he's there. And all these people that your listeners may not know, most, a lot of them are very, very savvy on history, but they know the name Weinberger. But
sure.
And then you have cardinals, you know, Catholic cardinals are there. It's a whole span of people that were members of this White House private sector, okay? Don't forget. Private
sector
initiative.
May I read what you read earlier again? This is important. This is a quote. This totally new and un-American concept of partnerships between public and private sectors has been readily accepted by our elected officials who ignore its roots in socialism and yep. its implications for the discontinuation of our representative form of government and accountability to the taxpayers. Under the partnership process, determining responsibility when something goes wrong is like pinning Jell-O to the wall. Charlotte
right.
Thompson Iserbeet's book, page 175. It's a great quote. Great quote.
Yeah, it is. Let me give, because I gave you credit in the beginning. I want to give credit to, people think that was all my book. Well, you know, I did a lot on it, and, I would say it's probably 70% my book. But 30% of it, and very important meat in it, came from, people like Cynthia Weatherly, she was the editor, the publisher was, Sarah Leslie, and then we had, Barbara Morris and all our greats, Herzer, Dennis Cuddy, his mother, who is now gone. She went through the whole draft. She, marvelous writer herself and researcher. And I mean, I just had so much help with that book. And,
There was a driving force, and it was you, and these people came together as fellow citizens and patriots
and
made it happen. Understood.
It was an amazing venture, and I'm so happy. Of course, then Sam Blumenfeld, he wrote the...
Samuel was a wonderful guy. Yeah.
Yes, Sam, and then we've lost, we're losing a lot of these people now. We lost Judith Reitzman, Mary Thompson was just fantastic, California, a little older than I am, she died last January, I think, and she's the one that wrote the first, she gave a speech on it, out in California. On planning, programming, budgeting, management systems. See, that's systems, results-based everything. And that was Defense Secretary Robert McNamara. That was this whole thing that with the computer. Mary was, can you imagine back in, long before I got started, I came back to the United States in what, 71? Mary was working in California. This is what the governor's girls, those gals in Virginia, you can't blame them. They don't know anything about this because all of our work, all great writers like Heaton and Hindman, and I mean, it's such a list. They're all on my honor roll at my website, their names. But, these people, it's sort of like any history. After Reagan, after I exposed Reagan, it's just down the tubes. I mean, they don't allow, the neoconservatives, Trotskyites, they won't allow any of this work done by these marvelous people, these writers and researchers and lovers of their country. They don't allow it. I mean, I know stories from gals who are on school boards out west, et cetera. You know, they take a position, they get in their car, take off, the car flies off the road. Because they've been messing with their car, the wheels.
Yeah.
We've been fighting a big war, the silent war. And
many
nobody knows
have
about
been
it.
Lost.
Those marvelous parents, I don't think they have any idea.
This book needs to go, and some of you in Virginia, I hope, will get the book. Make sure it's delivered to whomever your new governor decides is going to oversee education in the state and reform. This is without question one of the most important books ever. Yeah. This is one of the most important books ever. I'd like to see people hand somebody a copy if they can, but it's online. That's fine. This is one of the most important books in American history.
And you know where you can get it? It's at my website, deliberatedumbingdown.com.
Click on Charlotte's name and guess.
All the books that I've been involved with are up at the top of the page. Mm-hmm. Like Back to Basics Reform, that was the key. That's a little bomb that cost $10. That's a bomb. And then Soviets in the Classroom is another free PDF. That's another bomb.
Soviets in the Classroom, essential reading, little book.
Oh, my goodness. I look at that and I go, huh? Ooh, woo. And all of this is available. You know, it's all free PDF. Even my big book, Deliver, Dummy, Down. But who wants to download 700 pages, you know? That's a lot.
Well, if you can get a used copy and physically hand it to someone, that makes an impact. Follow it up with a paper telling them where to find it online. Go ahead.
You know what? One of your listeners, if they have a contact with the Virginia Governor's Office where they can be sure the book will get through, I will send them... One of your listeners, right? I will send them a hard copy. I only
have
about 20 left. And it's selling between $400 and $1,000 a copy at Amazon. So nobody wants to pay that. But I will make available for the governor a copy of it. I want him to have it. So, as you said, he could give it to his Commissioner of Education or whatever.
You can take a copy of the book and have them soft bound, print it, put it together. It can be done. You can get more copies. We can do that. Anyway, good.
Well, yeah, they could download it. They could download it and do that, but that's a lot of work. But I'm willing. I like the governor. I think he's, you know, but I'm very naive. I always like everybody.
Well, until proven that you shouldn't. I understand.
What?
Until they prove you shouldn't, let's hope he doesn't and stays right on path and does something extraordinary in this country, because we need extraordinary right now, real bad.
Oh, yes, we do. And education is the issue, and God bless those parents, regardless of why they came to understand this problem. I don't really care, you know, how they found out. They found out. And they've been, had all of our people, you know, Cuddy and all of us have been boycotted for years. They never wanted, the corporations and the Reagan administration, et cetera, and others, not just Reagan, it's the most magnificently carried out boycott of our works, not just mine, everybody's. And so how would the average American know? Because, you know, history is the key, isn't it? How can you make any decisions about anything? I mean, if you want to cook dinner, you've got to have a menu, right? You've got to have a recipe. I mean, how do you do anything in life without guidelines? And where do the guidelines come from? They come from, you know, what's her name? The great cook who died, a while back. And it's all history. Whether it's cooking or politics or tennis or what. It's history.
Right. Your book it almost takes one's breath away when you start to even just thumb through it. The documentation, the chronology of how this was all done.
Well, it's remarkable. The person who did the index,
right.
I believe she was the head of the Georgia. Did you know that every state has an indexers association? And
I
was in Georgia working on the book, and she was worked for that indexers association. I can't believe the job she did. Unbelievable index. I myself, just every time I look at the index, I think, how did she? I guess there's software or something that. You know, I don't understand technology that much. It makes it easy, but gee, I mean, that index is something else. And then it has a glossary, too, you know, so people understand educationese, which is an absolutely foreign language to most people. And it is, and the fact that I know that there, I would say 10% of that book are comments. From myself and the editor, fantastic. Cynthia Weatherly, she did a great job, and then the publisher, and then, of course, Joel Pett did that incredibly marvelous cartoon. It's on the inner and outer pages of the book. He's a Pulitzer Prize cartoonist, Joel Pett. And he didn't do it for me. It's weird. That's another story. I found that cartoon. You know the one I'm talking about. All the little kids. It's called consolidation. You know what that is, folks? That's regional government. And you know what regional government is? Communism. So Joel Pett is smart enough. He's down in Kentucky. He does this. I saw it in my office in 1981. It was in Phi Delta Kappa, which is a very liberal education journal. He did this cartoon, and I thought, why are they putting this cartoon in there? It says on it, it starts out with a little guy chewing grass, and it's fantastic. I put it on the inner and the outer sides of the book. You have him, Little Frog Creek, Lick Creek High School. He's chewing a piece of grass. Then he's not chewing the grass the next one. He's looking a little less, Kidney Bean High School.
Yeah, got it.
Not quite so happy. Then he's looking just sort of no expression. And then it says on his t-shirt, it says in the third one, Greater Corn County High School. And then there's an arrow and it says Central State Educational Facility. He's looking pretty miserable at that point. Then it says, he looks really miserable, Big Brother National Information Distribution Center. This is a cartoon right in the opening of the book. Then there's an arrow. The arrow's between all of them. His hair looks like it's standing on end now. It wasn't standing on end before. And very unhappy. Then it's called Imperial International Propaganda System, number 1362. Maybe he's in jail. All right, then he's same thing. Then he's got his hand up, clenched fist. Our Lady of the Benevolent Dictatorship, One World Global Training Corps, which is what we're looking at now. One World Global Training Corps.
Yeah.
And then you have him happy. First time since the chewing on the grass. He's smiling. He's connected with these things on his ears. Connected with a computer and all.
Sure.
And it's his t-shirt says Interplanetary Carbon Unit Reprogramming Pod. That's it. And I remember saying, I want that cartoon on the front and back of the book. And I'm so glad I did.
Very sophisticated stuff. Excellent.
He's a Pulitzer Prize winner for cartoons.
Top of the line. Totally.
I mean, you know what? You hardly have to read the book. Just look at Joel's cartoon. Anyway, I hope your listeners will take advantage. Look, you must have listeners from Virginia.
Sure.
They can call me. You can give them my phone number.
All right. If anyone wants to contact Charlotte directly, contact me, send me your phone number, and we'll get back to you and get this arranged. But
I promise, I want a big, heavy, it's about 3 pounds at least. I want this book to go to to Governor Youngkin.
Yeah. I never forget the first time I saw the book. I couldn't believe it. It was so big. Heavy phone directory, kind of, like, and loaded.
Yeah, I know.
The history in it. The history was stunning. Anyway, it is.
Well, you know,
it's one of the most important books in our nation's history. I say that.
Well, it really is. The cover of it, I love it, the cover. That was my little idea, the yellow sticky. I thought, 2 a.m., I was thinking, why not we make a drawing of a yellow sticky and it'll be on, curved up at the end like they do. And it says, this is meant for a teacher to give to another teacher, really. It says, this book will change forever the way you look at your child's education. I love that little yellow sticky that we decided to put on it. But Sam Blumenfeld, he was such a dear, he wrote the forward to it, and he said, listen, Charlotte, really, you know, aside from it being loaded, it's a wonderful coffee table book.
Well, it is, you know, a coffee table. Oh,
what? You know how people put these big...
Yes, of course.
Yeah, he said, it's just a great coffee table. I remember him saying that.
That's funny.
Well, gee whiz, is that what, Sam? Is that all you think about my book? He said, no, of course. But he said, it is a good coffee table book. Oh, well.
No, it's a great coffee table book. It is a coffee table. It's that substantial. And I hope, again, we get somebody in Virginia that can arrange this. The administration there, when it comes in, will be open to input. They usually play that game if they're not serious, but in any case, there'll be an opening, an opportunity. This book must go to the governor, and let's try and
make that happen. Oh, yes. I want so much for it to go. And I like to be very optimistic about him. I have been right from the beginning when I saw him, but I've made mistakes in the past because I'm
We'll find out, Charlotte dear. We'll find out. We just have to watch and see and then hope that the guy is what he seems to be. If we need a break, even if it's just one state,
we do need a break.
One time.
And you know what? Even if by chance, and I don't think it's going to be that way, I hope, he turns out not to be exactly what we wanted. Look what he did. The revolution those parents caused, the ripples across the country.
The accomplishment in and of itself is extraordinary. Yeah, by any measure. All true. All true. All right, Charlotte, we will talk again. Thank you.
Yeah, well, thanks a lot, Jake. Jeff. Yeah, and I was thinking about Jake, Klycek.
Okay.
I always have on my mind. That's what's it called?
Yeah.
School World Order, Klycek. Good book.
Yeah, it is. And take care. We'll talk very soon. I'm here.
Thanks a lot. Thanks to your audience. Bye-bye.
All right, good night. Charlotte Iserby, the one and only. This is a towering figure of our time in this country. Back in a minute. Hang on.